what a privilege to be here. I just want to emphasize what Gerard said. We love your pastor, Kobus and Laurette. They are an amazing family. And this morning I came in here, it felt to me like, you know what, when I was a little one, I used to visit my grandma, and then she allowed me to look into a shelves and in a cupboard, and usually I will find, I found a small jewelry box. And when I opened it, it was full of little thingies and stuff and gems. Very special. Some of them fake, I don't know, but beautiful. If you're a little one, it was beautiful. And this morning, when I came here, it felt to me, I've got that same feeling. You know, I'm opening a special box full of beautiful gems. And this is who you are. You're a beautiful church, you're a beautiful community, the most servant hearts I've experienced in a long time. I really felt your love, and that was so special to me for that moment when I realized that you are a church. You know, Jesus came and he gave his everything for the church. He gave his life. He gave his everything because the church is so important to the Father. And he gave everything. And if we're standing alone, we can't be the church all by myself. But when we as church come together, all of us come together and we have a community and we worship the Father, then this is what is very special to him. He loves it. When the church comes together to worship him. So Gerard told me, Kobus said, I must bring a word this morning. So I don't know what the two of them talked about. Wie jok nou hier vir my? So dit nou moet uitvind. But Gerard said, do you perhaps have a word for the church? And I said, okay, I will hear from the Lord. And it was quite a busy week in Paul. We're from Paul. And you know the interschools, boys and gym. And our house, our family, we are divided between the blue and the maroon and yellow ones. On the one side, the blue one, and on the other side, the gymmy, the boys, and the gymmies. And actually wonderful to see all the young generation coming up and compete against each other. And see the beautiful behavior. And yeah, it was a skouspel hierdie week in Parel. Ons is baie nou betrokke daarby. Gerard het die rugby gaan bywoon. So with all the excitement, I said to God, but Lord, I don't know what you want to say to these people. So if you want to tell them something, I'm willing to listen. So up to yesterday, I didn't had anything but much of an excitement. And this morning, my husband woke me, maybe for a reason, very early this morning. I thought to myself, why so early? Why do you bring me my tea so early this morning? And the moment when I opened my eyes, I heard a word from the Lord, and I knew it was from you. So I'm going to say a few things, but there's a few key words I want you to pick up and take home this week. And when you come together as a church with your pastor or as a leadership, discuss those words, because I believe the Lord wants to explain something new to you or break up a few words for you with a new meaning. And let me begin with a picture I've also seen. You know, this winter was an excellent winter. It was a real winter. I was suffering because I was getting cold and it was raining, and even at a stage we had a problem with all the water flowing through our yard, so much so that Gerard had to call the municipality and told them, please come and help us. Our backyard is flooding now, and we are at Lebok, our church, so far church at Lebok, and our tent were flooded. I promise you, Gerard was there. We've been there up to this height. Our tent was totally flooded. The playground for the children were flooded underwater. They picked up the one refrigerator against the one fence under the trees. They sent me a video of a beautiful couch I've got from friends of a church who donated a beautiful couch seat, and the one couch was floating on the water. And the, so we had a lot of water. A lot of water. And the Lord says, as He flooded with water the past season, He wants to flood with His presence in the new season. I'm telling you, you're going, and we as a church, we're going to experience God's presence as we don't know it. And I will get back to it. So keep in mind that God is going to do a new thing. And before He's doing a new thing, He usually asks something from us. You know what? The kingdom asks, I don't have an English word now, opoffering, no? Sacrifice is from us. And the Lord says, and the key word, surrender. Surrender. He wants a yieldedness like never before. And we must go back and seek for those yieldedness and surrenderness in our heart. If we want to see God work, and He wants to work because the world needs Him, and His kingdom needs to be displayed throughout the world. Things, and I believe is what Gerard said, is going to tell us this morning, things are not going to get better in a sense. It's not going to get better, but the presence of the Lord is going to get better. Hallelujah. And it asks us to surrender. And I want each one of you to go back this week, me, myself as well, my family as well, and we must go and ask God, God, what do I need to surrender? What part in my heart is not yielded unto You? Where must be a place of surrender unto You? And we, you know what? We cannot hear the word and not do it. So if God wants to say, He wants to bring His presence in a new way, and we must surrender, we must go and seek His face and ask, Lord, because Your surrender and my surrender might look different, but we must go and surrender. In this church, can you just think, if we spend more time this week, focus on surrendering unto God, and we come back next week with something new in our heart, what is going to happen? This is what God wants. We cannot hear His word and not doing it. So surrender. In Psalm 37, verse 7 says, who wants to look it up for me? Sorry, I just made a note of it and I didn't write it out as I usually do. My time was not enough. Psalm 37, verse 7, my husband will look it up for me quickly. But the other thing I want to put an emphasis on, He cannot give the new, and we know it, unless we exchanged the old. Jesus said to Peter, you cannot follow me unless you leave everything behind. Put down everything and follow me. So he had to leave the old and all what is important to him behind to follow him. Psalm 37, verse 7.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way.
God wants you to prosper. But prosper, we've got our own mindset of prosperity. It means I must protect my life, I must protect everything, I must protect what I have. But But the Lord says, if you want to win, you put it down. If you want to gain something, you put down. Our mindset in the world is you gather, God says, put down. Leave it. Follow me. Seek Him first. And He will give the rest. Take up your cross and follow Him. That is also another key word. So that He can see that He will see, He will look after you, and He will see that we prosper. Not on worldly terms, but on God's term. And then, I believe if we talk about the old and the new, and I will finish off now, I won't take longer now. But if we talk, you remember that part in scripture where the Lord says, if you fill up a wineskin, what must we do? If we have new wine, what must we do? We must bring in new wineskins. For if we use the old ones, if we didn't chuck it away, if we use it again, it will tear and we will lose wineskin and the wine. But if we get the new wineskin for the new wine, both of them will be better. And I don't know whom of the ladies, whom of you like to do some needlework. You can put up your hand so that I can see you. There's a lady. I'm so glad. I'm trying, but I'm not getting there. Not yet. One day. But if you want to repair a garment, if you want to repair something, I'm not talking of those young people, your jeans, you know, it's all teared up, you buy it like that, it's new, it's good, it's fine. I also has once, I had one, but it teared too much up, I had to give it away or take it out. But if you want to repair a new one, a new garment, or an old garment, it teared up. You will not take a new piece of cloth and put it on there. Because a garment, the fabric, the material, dit word so, dit skif so half. Nee, ek weet nie, I don't know how to describe it better. So it's difficult to put on the new fabric, on the old fabric. You will rather get a new garment. God wants you this coming week, go and find a new garment from Him. Take away the old. Bring in the new. Whatever the old means to you, you know what is in your life which is old. And it's not giving life anymore. You know what you had to put down. But come back. Come back to a leaders meeting. If you have a leaders meeting, come back. Next week, come back to the children's church. Come back with something new. For God says, surrender. Surrender. I believe and I trust the Lord that He will break it open to you. Furthermore, I believe Kobus and Lorette will immediately click in the hearts what God means for you as a church to surrender. But the Lord says, cleanse out your heart, clean out your families. Our families is going to be the most important part. Families, clean your business transactions. Make sure that you don't have a business transaction which is a little bit Kailina, nie lekker nie. Doen alles above board. Do it God's way. Rather lose something, but gain God's blessing. Than doing it nie lekker nie. Clean out the old for the new. And then I just want to emphasize what I said when I saw you this morning. I saw pillars and I forgot in your church are actually pillars, and I look at these two beautiful pillars. The Lord said your location here is perfect for the world to see. You are at a perfect location, but the world will know you by His love. And this I already experienced this morning, and build on it. Build on your love, build on your community. Be serious to be a church member here. Don't take it for granted. If your pastor call you to attend something, be here. Yeah, but it's nothing to do with me. Be here because you're bringing in something the church needs. Be here, gather together, work in unity, surrender.
I'm a little bit emotional at the moment because of this word. Just before I start with communion, I just want to confirm that word. I work at Val d'Avie, and the water came through that place, and also at one specific point when I was just standing there, running around, and then at some point I was just standing and looking at the water that was just flooding everything. And God stopped me and gave me pretty much exactly the same word, that His presence, when His presence comes, it's like what stood out was that it filled everything. It filled every space. And this is something, when we think of surrender, it's surrendering all. If there's an area, water doesn't miss that area. It goes everywhere. It fills it. That was the one thing that was amazing. And the second thing was that there were small dams, ponds, small dams that was filled with algae, and you could really not see the bottom or anything. It was just filthy. But once the water came through there, it just flooded out everything. So it was cleansed, in a certain sense. And that's what's happened. What happens when we come into that presence, and God's presence is really that's what's making the difference.
Yeah, guys, just to speak into what God has been revealing to us this morning and what the Spirit is working in our midst. It's like God is saying, hey guys, prepare. I want to pour out new wine. Is that what you're hearing? That's what I'm hearing in my spirit. God says, I want to pour out new wine. I want to, you know, I want to open the gates of heaven so that the showers of heaven will come down. And you know, when Jesus was about to come to this earth, when His ministry was about to begin, okay, God raised a man with the name of John the Baptist. You still remember that guy? And God raised John the Baptist to prepare the people for the coming of the King. Okay, because the King will come to a people who is prepared. You know, when God wants to pour out His Spirit, when revival is about to happen, the Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of men and women, and they will start to pray. It's not something that you can do religiously. They will start to pray. And one of the things that will happen when God is about to visit His people is that people will start to repent. Are you still with me? People will start to repent. They will start to repent of the stuff that is not godly in their lives, to put it in that way. So the prophet Isaiah said about John, he will prepare the way for the King. Are you still with me? So John was the prophet who had to prepare His people. If God wants to visit His people, He will raise up a prophetic voice. People are being prepared by a prophetic voice. You know, prophets, you know, the prophetic gifting, you know, there's something about it that when the prophet speaks, you know, it's like it causes a stirring in our hearts. It causes a stirring to get our lives with God right. Are you still with me? God says, Graham, God says when He comes to visit His people, I think it's in Malachi, you know, He says He will start with the priests. Are you still with me? Okay. You're not with me. Thank you for that one. let's quickly go to the book of Malachi. Malachi, last chapter, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 3, are you with Malachi 3? Malachi 3, verse 1, the prophet is saying, behold, God is saying to the prophet, I sent my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Okay, when God is about to visit us, he will prepare the way. And if I say prepare the way, if the Bible says prepare the way, that's the hearts of the people. That's my heart. Are you still with me? Because God, you know, when I need to open my heart for him. I need to open my life for him. God works where people's hearts are soft. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Let me put it in another way. The condition of your heart will determine how far you can go with God. You remember Jesus told about the sower sowing the seed? The first bunch of seed fell on ground as hard as the cement. Did anything happen? No, sir. And the second bunch and the third bunch, I think the second bunch, it fall between, you know, it was a stony place, I think. And I think the third place was, you know, there was thorns, you know. So at the stony place, you know, there wasn't, you know, the roots couldn't go down. And then, you know, the seed couldn't grow. And the other stuff that was, you know, the thorns and the thistles, you know, just, you know, it couldn't grow. But then the fourth bunch fell into ground that was prepared. It was good soil. You know, that farmer took the time, prepared the soil, put in the fertilizer. It was soft ground. And guess what? The seed grew in the soft ground. The condition of your heart will determine how far you can go with God. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above everything else, because out of it is the fountains of life. Guys, we need a soft heart. We need a soft heart. A heart that is sensitive for him. If we want him to move, you know what? We can be like the Pharisees. And I pray so many times, I say, God help me to not be a Pharisee. Because the Pharisees, you know what? Jesus was in their midst. They didn't recognize that he was the Messiah. They didn't recognize that he was the one scripture prophesied to come. We can miss him. Guys, we can miss a move of God. So God raised John. And you know, if you read in Luke chapter 3, you will see that God, you know, God gave John a message. God, it's like, you know, God said to John, this is the message I want you to prepare the people with. You, John, are going to baptize the people with water. It will be a baptism unto repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So John, you know, I don't know if we would like to invite him to come and preach in our churches. You know, he's like, you vipers. You know, speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, and the, what call it, skrifgeleerdes, wie is daai ons? Teachers of the law, thank you very much. You know, it was, you know, because they came from Jerusalem, they came from the cities, and they came to check out this man because they know this was a move of God. They knew God was moving, and the people were coming from all over the land, and you know what? They were hungry for God. And John's message was cutting their hearts, and they repented because John's message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. God is here. Jesus is here. When Jesus preached that same message, repent for the kingdom of God, you know what? He was representing the kingdom. The king was representing the kingdom. Are you still here?
Yeah.
If we look for the king, if we look for the kingdom, you know, look for the king. The kingdom is where the king is. So John was, he was preaching this message, and you know what? You know, people, they repent. They were seeking forgiveness, and what did John do? He baptized them, because that was the word God gave him. He was preparing the people. He was preparing the way, you know, because in those days, when the king came to visit, you know, at a certain place, you know, there were no roads in those days. Hello, are you with me? There were no roads. And you know, the king, you know, he comes with, you know, luxury. They call it the koets. What's a koets in English? A coach? That thing, you know. And they built, they built a road for him. So they, you know, all the ditches, they filled it up, you know. And if there's, you know, stuff like, you know, too high to get over, you know, they leveled it down. So that the king could come. And guys, we need to do the same. We must prepare the way. We must prepare our hearts for him to work in our lives. And that's what John did. Repent. You know that word repent, it comes from a Greek word. Anyone wants the Greek word? Anyone? Metanoia. Meta means change. Change. Noia comes from noose, it's your mind. So he said, guys, change your mindset. You know what? Luke 5, my wife mentioned that. Jesus said, I'm going to pour out new wine. Okay? And for me to pour out new wine, you need what?
New
wineskins. Wineskins refer to your mindset. If you've got an old religious mind, you're going to miss the move of God. Can I say it again? If you've got an old religious mindset, you're going to miss the move of God. We need to change. We need to change. You know what? The kingdom is about change. And not change, you know, the day when I gave my heart to Jesus. Kingdom is to change every day.
Wow.
Repentance is to continually upgrade your mind to align with the will and the purposes of God. That's what repentance is. Continually upgrade my mind to align with the will and purposes with God. Are you still with me? Guys, we need to be aligned with Him. We need to be every day aligned with Him. We need to be aligned every moment with Him. God, where are you? What are you doing, God? In kingdom, we are there. We are available for the king. In the kingdom, we say, King, it is about you. I'm following you. I'm obeying you. I'm running with you. You know what? We are there to serve the king. Are you still with me? So John was preparing the people. You know, the people was flocking to where he was, you know, his ministry. Am I correct if I say it was in the desert? You know, it was there, the Jordan River, you know, and the people came there. And, you know, it was a harsh word. You know, he cut the hearts of the people. He said, you guys need to change. You know, you need to repent. And, you know, and then he started to speak about the Messiah. Okay, the Messiah that was coming. Are you still with me? You know, he was speaking about the Messiah. He said, you know, he said, I baptize you with water. Oh man, I love this. He said, I'm baptizing you with water. It says, but one is coming. Oh, he's talking about the Messiah. He said, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Guys, if we want to be on fire for him, if we want to experience the working of the Holy Spirit, then we need, like, symbolically, the baptism of John. changing our hearts.
Yeah.
Getting our lives right with God. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I'm missing it. My wife, she gave us 4 points this morning. Family, what was the other stuff that we give to cleanse? Business transactions. And the others? Help us there. Guys, when it comes to money, who's the business people here? Let me just... Hello, hello, hello. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. And the rest of us, when it comes with to money, guys, we need to be squeaky clean. Are you still with me? I'm not only talking to the business people. If we do it God's way, if it comes to money, we need to be squeaky clean. You know what? You know, what's the word? Dit gee my geen voordeel. It prospers me nothing. You know, if I'm cheating on a deal and I lose the favor and presence of God in my life, then I'm losing. You know what? 100 rand or 1,000 rand or 10,000 rand or 100,000 or 1,000,000 will help me nothing if I lose, you know, the favor and the presence of God. So money, families.
Clean out your hearts.
Clean out your hearts.
And clean out the old for the new.
And clean out the old for the new. So new wine needs new wineskins. And new wineskins is a mindset. Our mindset needs to change. You know, the Bible tells us over and over, you know, it talks about the renewal of our minds. Are you still with me? We must renew our minds. Our minds is the wine skin that captures the new wine. Are you still with me? So guys, we need to renew our minds. If I say renew our minds, it's like get rid of the old religion, the old way of doing things. You know, God through the ages, He was working. You know, Jesus came and the church was established on the day of Pentecost. The church was baptized with the Holy Spirit. You still remember that? You know, and the Bible said, Acts 2 verse 1, they were all together in one place, in one accord, on the day of Pentecost. You know what? And God poured out His Spirit. God will pour out His Spirit where there's unity. Hello? God works where there's unity. You don't believe me. You guys don't believe me. The Spirit of God works unity. If you want to see God work in your marriage, man, start and contend for unity in your marriage. Get unity. Get unity in your family, in your relationships. Get unity. God works where there is unity. Are you still with me? Work for unity. Contend for unity. You know what? Some preacher one day says, he said, God won't bless your mess. And that's our problem. We want God to bless our mess. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
That's religious thinking. You know what? God, I know this thing is not right. You know, God, I've got trouble with this guy. You know, and I can't forgive him. He stole my money. He stole 800 rands from me. And I can't forgive him. I worked hard for that 800 rands. Man, bless that guy. With that 800 rand. You know, forgive him. If you don't want to face him, just say in your prayer, God, I choose to forgive that person. He robbed me. You know what? Hy het my verneek. Weet jy wat dit in Engels is? You hear what I'm saying? You know, and sometimes, ladies, I need to forgive my husband for working that hard. Hello. Okay. And husbands, you know, you need to forgive your wife for telling you that you're up to nothing. You're laughing. I've got scripture for that. You know what? God, you know, God, in Ephesians 5, when God speaks about marriage, he first talked to the woman. I don't know why. But he says, wives, submit to your husband. You know, and something about submit because, oh, no, let me just start here. In Ephesians 5, we say that we see that the perfect example of marriage is the relationship between Jesus and the church.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what he's talking about. Jesus and the church, they are the perfect example. They, you know, we need to work towards that. And then he starts with the wife, says the word. The wife is like the church, you know, the church submit to Jesus. The church worship, you remember? This morning, we worship. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. You were so connected, the guys with you, you know. And what we do, if we worship him, you know, we tell him how wonderful he is. Isn't that so? We tell him, thank you. That last song we did for Jeremy Riddle, man, first time I see that song. But you know, it's not what he did for us, who he is, you know. And if it's in Afrikaans, say, hulle, die pad na 'n man se hart loop deur sy maag. Die resepteboek. What can I tell you? Die pad na 'n man se hart loop deur sy ego. As jy kan vir hom, if you can tell him how much you admire him and how good he is for you and how good he is for the family. And he, how good he takes care of you. Man, you're going to be one lucky lady. Want interessant, die meeste mans glo, the most men believe they are incompetent. Because their husband, their wives tell them you can do nothing, you know. You can't do anything right. That's what husbands believe. And you know, and then Jesus, Paul speaks to the husbands. And he tells the husbands, you must love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life, laid down his life for it. Men, I'm so sorry for you. If you want to be the king, treat her like the queen. But anyway, you need to lay down your life, your life for her. You need to give your life for her. And if you speak to women or wives, you know, and you ask her, you know, between number 1 and 10, where do you think you fit in? She will tell you, I'm number 15. Okay, ladies, just keep it cool. You know. First, it's his work, and then it's his friends, and then it's his sport, you know, and his mountain biking, and his running, and study, and, you know, I think I fit in around number 15. We're talking about family, okay? So, I'm just dropping it here. That's statistics. That's... Husbands, is that how they feel, you know? And my vrou sê ook kan ek niks reg doen. And the woman is like, you know, I'm not number one. You want to have a happy marriage? You know what a woman want? I know. In your marriage, she wants to be number one. She wants to be number one. She wants to know I am number one in his life. Dat jy gelukkig huwelik, man. If you can do that, you can play golf so long as what you will. You can mount a bike so far as what you will. You can comrades, you wash, you can hardloop, all that good thing. If she knows she's number one, you've got a happy wife. And ladies, tell him how much you admire him. Thank you. Thank you for looking after me and the kids. Thank you that you're caring for us, that you feel sorrow. You know. Tell him, man. Tell him that stuff. You know. Man, then he will go out and fix a tap for you. You know, I tuck off saag with you so spla. So, it was not alles gecovered also. So John, you know, he came in, he was preparing the people for the coming of the Messiah. He was preparing the people because the king was on his way. You know, and you know, the day Jesus arrived, you know, it was like the second time John and Jesus met. Because the first time, you know, both John and Mary, John and Jesus was still in the wombs of their mothers. Yeah. And the angel said to Mary, you know, the angel said, you know, you're gonna give birth to the Messiah. And she was just thrown a little bit because how could it happen? And then the angel explained to her and she said, let it be with me according to your word. That's the definition of saying yes to God. Let it be to me according to your word. You know what? She gave a yes a long time ago. Not at that moment. So she was ready for this. I don't know how ready you could be for this one. But if you say your yes, you know what? God will release His grace over your life. If you've got other plans, you know, you like Jonah. God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. And he fled to trouble. You know, if you do His will, you're going to have challenges. It's going to be hard. It's like they say, choose your heart. You know, you want to be in a ship that's going down and the sailors want to throw you overboard. Eventually, Jonah said, please throw me overboard. He said, hey, what's wrong with you? The prophet. The non-Christian stole the prophet. What's wrong with you? You sleep. We pray. You sleep. Give your yes to him. You know what? And whoops, they throw Jonah overboard. Gracious God that we serve. You know, there was a fish. Don't know what fish it was. Maybe God created the fish just for that moment. Swallowed, you know, Jonah. And there was poor Jonah, you know. In the fish, can you think that acids, that stomach acids was burning him? And he repented. He repented. And you know what he prayed for? He said, God, give me a second chance. God, give me a second chance. And you know what? That is music to the ears of God. Because He loves to give second chances. He loves to give second chances. And you know what? Jonah went, he preached, man. You know, if you come from a stomach experience in the fish, you know, he was on fire for God. That whole city got saved. And then he was angry with God. But let's leave that story there. You know what? So Mary gave a yes to Jesus, to God. She said, yes, I want to go. And she went to Elizabeth. And as Mary is coming to Elizabeth, who is pregnant with the baby, with John the Baptist, as Mary was greeting Elizabeth, the baby in her womb leaped. John the Baptist, according to Scripture, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, in his mother's womb. And the moment the baby leaped in the womb of Elizabeth, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, you know what? If we give God just that opportunity, He will move in your life. God, move in my life. So the Bible says the next day Jesus was coming to the ministry of John. You know, he was coming, John said, you know, prophet as he was. He said, there's the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. He's prophesying what God's will for Jesus was, to take away the sins of the world. What is John doing here? He's baptizing. He's got a message of repentance unto forgiveness of sins. And he says, he's the Messiah. And that word Messiah, the Messiah, that Hebrew word Mashiach, it means to be anointed. Are you still with me? Okay, Christ, that Greek word Christos means to be anointed. He's the one that's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So John, the other day I was thinking, he was filled with the Holy Spirit before Jesus. So here's Jesus, you know, and John said, the one that's coming, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus told John, I needed to be baptized. Did Jesus have any sin? No. And John's baptism is a baptism of repentance unto the forgiveness of sins. You can go and study Luke 3 and the other scriptures. So what is this man doing? You know, it's like, why does Jesus want to be baptized? Jesus said, so that all righteousness will happen. And God's will for Jesus was to identify with my sin and with your sin. He identified with the sin of this world. He identified with the people of this world that we need a Savior, that we are sinners. And John was like, when Jesus said, I need to be baptized, John was thinking, you know, if you baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. It's like, you know, it's like John wanted to jump the gun. You know, it was like he wanted to start Pentecost right now. Jesus, I want you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, you know. I want you to baptize me. And Jesus said, No. Let's do it so that all righteousness will be filled. And you know what happened next. You know, they went into the water. Luke says, and while Jesus was praying. Hello? The only gospel writer that mentioned it. If you read the Gospel of Luke, if you read the Acts that he wrote, man, you will see that prayer is so, so, so important. So Jesus was praying, the Bible says the heavens opened above him. Can I tell you a secret? Praying and doing righteousness, doing what God wants of you, will open the heavens above you. Man, the heavens torn open. Wow, what a day. What a day. The heavens torn open. The voice of the Father that says, that is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And the next moment, you know what? Jesus, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove on Jesus. What a day. What a day. And I believe God still wants to do that. He wants to fill us. He wants to move. He wants to send His rain. He's looking for a people that are ready for Him. You know, there's a scripture that says He will come to a prepared people. He will come to a prepared people. And guys, how do we prepare? You know, no religion. Just a heartfelt hunger for Him. God, we want you. We need you. You know what? And the closer we get to Him, you know, His light, and His light will shine. And as you get closer, you will know, you know, I need to repent. I need to get this thing out of my life. Hey, ek sit 'n bietjie lank voor die TV, jy weet. Ek kan 'n bietjie van daai tyd gebruik om by die Here uit te kom. Ek kan 'n bietjie van daai tyd gebruik om by my buurman uit te kom. Jy weet, Ek kry elke Sondag in die kerk, kan jy dit glo, every Sunday in church, my phone tells me, how long have I been on this phone? And WhatsApp tops it. And then it's Facebook. I'm trying to get that one down. And then it's YouTube. You know, I listen to worship music on YouTube. You know, it's that, number third, number three. But you know what? What do we do with our time? What do we do with our time? You know, and the other day, you know, I just said, God tell me He doesn't bless laziness. You know, God wants us to move with Him. Amen? He wants us to say, God, I want You. And He wants the people that are willing to pay the price. Those people in the days of John, they came from all the towns, they came from all the cities. And they flocked to where John's message was, you know, where his ministry was. You know, they paid the sacrifice. Is that a word from Vogel? They paid the sacrifice. They came there. They said, okay, they listened to the word. They changed their lives. They changed their lifestyle. You know, John said, if you have two tunics, you know, give one away. You know, Christianity is supposed to be a lifestyle of generosity. Hello? Of is it to entrap it? No. My head to it. You know what? And he told the tax collectors, he told them, you know, don't collect more than you are supposed to. You know? We need immense to knock. Trust God to put His favor on your life. And then he spoke to the soldiers. What did he say to the soldiers? Who can remember? So you know, if we repent, if we upgrade our mindset to align with His will and purpose, God will be glorified. You know, we will see it in our lifestyle. It will change our lives. You know, and John's ministry was only 6 months. Only 6 months. Jesus said he was the greatest prophet that ever lived. You know what? He was not afraid. He said to Herod, that woman, it's not your wife. And you know what? Herod and the girl was not his wife. You know, they contemplated to kill the voice of the one that was preparing the people for the coming of the Messiah. Can we stand? Can we pray together?